Everyone is on.
Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Let's get it.
Boss. B-O-S-S.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I am really excited today. I have an extra special guest for this episode. I have Ms. Mary Beth McCormick, and she is the executive director for the Center for Real Estate at the Fisher School of Business at the Ohio State University. She's got many, many years of real estate experience in various capacities. So I'm really excited to have her share a wealth of knowledge with us. So Mary Beth, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jessica. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. I really appreciate you coming on. So I know you're going to drop a lot of wisdom on me. So I'm really excited to talk to you.
Okay, fingers crossed.
So let's just jump right into it. First and foremost, how did you get interested in real estate?
Oh, it was an accident, as happens, I think, to so many people. Some people know what they're doing from the time they're four, right? I wasn't one of those. I had my career took me different paths. And when I was 32, I got an undergraduate degree in social work at Ohio State and an MBA, and then I did the basic financial analyst job, and got promoted. And then when I was 32, I heard about this position at the State Pension Fund, Ohio Public Employees Retirement System of Ohio. And this was in the late 80s, and they were asking for a financial, and I don't even remember the title, but it was somebody to work in their real estate department of their investments. And I knew nothing about real estate. When I got my MBA, we had a terrific program at Ohio State, but I didn't want to sell houses. And so I didn't take classes in real estate. You know, I thought I wanted to, you know, be a financial analyst. And so I missed that opportunity at the time. But then I called the folks at Ohio State and I went in, or at OPERS, and I went in and I met with them. And the guy who ended up being my boss said, you know, this is new. It's a startup. The fund was $16 billion at the time, but they had very little allocated to real estate. It had just become a legal investment for the pension fund and for most pension funds around the country at that time. They were just starting to get into real estate. And so it was like, you know, we could help create something new, but have the backing of a $16 billion fund. So that was nice. And so we had a lot of money to put out. And I liked the idea of the startup. And then he said, it's like playing Monopoly with real money. And I when I was a kid, I liked to play Monopoly. And so that crystallized it for me. And he was kind of right. So I joined OPERS in 1989. And we were one of the first pension funds to invest in many different types of things. Like we were one of the first to do apartments. I'm certain we were the first to invest in hotels. We bought our first hotel in 1990, I believe. One of the first to go heavily into REITs. When the REIT market came back strong in the early 90s, we invested heavily in REITs. We were, I think, one of the first, if not the first, to do to invest in platforms, to invest in companies that invested in real estate, in addition to just the properties themselves. So we might invest in an apartment company, public or private apartment company, that was investing in apartments. But you know, we took a position with the company, and we worked with a manager who would take board seats, so we would have some governance, some input into that. We did a little bit of everything, public and private, debt and equity, almost anything you can think of. And I knew nothing about it going in, but most people didn't know anything about it at the time either. And so, I was there at the very beginning of institutional investment in an asset class that it turns out I have a huge passion for. You know, I really think whatever you like to do, you ought to do it in real estate, because real estate's just more fun. And so if you want to go into business, if you want to be an accountant, you know, be an accountant for a REIT, or, you know, if you want to, or right, do research, or if you want to, you know, whatever you like to do, there's a role for you in real estate. And it's just more fun. Everything about real estate involves people, relationships, and people skills, but you also need to have the numbers down pat. And so for me, it was a good fit, and I encourage my students to pursue it. It's also been traditionally the one of the best generators of wealth in this country. So people don't always realize that. You know, you don't, when you walk down the street, you might, you know, if you walk down, you're in DC, right? So if you walk down DC, you know, all these office buildings, you know, if you're not thinking about real estate, you don't think about who built those, who manages those, you know, what rents the tenants pay. I mean, there are so many different facets to it, and it's inescapable. You can't get away from it, so you may as well enjoy it, right?
Absolutely. And that kind of encompasses the spirit of this show. Like, I want to show people that real estate really touches every facet of business, of life. And there's so many things to do as a real estate career other than not just to necessarily sell houses or transact with houses. So that's awesome. So what are you seeing, you know, because you've been in the industry for a while, what are some of the just broad changes that you've seen, you know, from over your years of experience to what's going on in the industry now?
Oh, wow. So I've been doing this more than 30 years, and I've always had a commercial perspective, and you know, I've always been a fiduciary. So, you know, I viewed it as investing other people's money, and I took that very seriously. My grandma was a member of the system at OPERS. And so I always felt that I was investing her money. And when people would come in, I would tell them, this is my grandma's money. And so I have to be careful with it. And at the time, it was a very small industry. When I began, it was very inefficient. It was not very transparent. It was before NCREIF occurred. NCREIF is a National Council of Real Estate Investment Fiduciaries. They track the performance of institutional real estate so that institutions can benchmark against it. That didn't exist when I began. So, you know, so I was involved with NCREIF at the very early part, you know, just at the very beginnings. But after the REIT market came about in the mid 90s, and there was a big capital crunch, Wall Street discovered real estate and, you know, realized that there's really opportunity here. And, you know, before that they'd been involved like maybe mortgages, but, you know, not too many had invested directly, but, you know, they saw the opportunity. And so most of the Wall Street firms and then the growing private equity firms like Blackstone and BlackRock, you know, then they started growing and coming about. And so now that's a primary method of investment for institutions as well as, you know, high net worth individuals and some, you know, and you know, not so high net worth individuals, you know, like me, maybe through, you know, through a mutual fund. None of that really existed back in, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. And so pricing was much lower. There wasn't nearly as much capital chasing deals. Pricing was a lot lower. Interest rates were a lot higher, which also explains why there wasn't as much capital chasing deals, right? Because you could, it was harder to make the numbers work, but then cap rates were much, much higher too. So I remember, you know, one of the smartest people in the industry, David Shulman, came into our office. He was head of research, I think, for Solomon Brothers at the time. And he said, you know, everything's a 12 cap rate. And, you know, you never see anything at a 12 cap now. You might see something at a 3 or a 4, maybe a 5, you know, but a 12 is just like, if something traded at a 12 cap right now, it would be a very distressed deal. But back then, that's where everything was. And so it was real possible to make double digit returns in real estate, which helped, which was good for my grandma, good for the members of the system. You know, I think good for the system itself. We got spoiled. We got very spoiled.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, something double digit cap rate is going to be probably a smaller deal, not something that an institutional, you know, level investor is not looking at. So yeah, that's interesting. So what made you want to get into the education sector?
You know, I was at PERS for a while. I was there for, I think, 16 years in the last decade. I was there. I ran the real estate and loved it. And you know, I'm mission driven. So I, every morning, you know, I got out of bed planning what, you know, how I could help the people I worked for. But I'd been through a few cycles. And after you go through three or four cycles, it gets kind of old. And it just felt that we were kind of selling the same stuff back and forth to each other. And I just needed something different. And I realized that I was, by then I was 48. And I realized that there was more that I wanted to do in life and kind of see what it was like on the other side of the table. And so I said, you know, it's probably time to move on. And when I left, I wanted to teach. I wanted to sit on boards and I wanted to consult. And the board work came right away. I've been on the board of three public REITs. I'm currently on the board of two public REITs and a bunch of private companies. And the consulting came pretty easily too. And the teaching was just, it was a hard nut to crack. You know, I met with people at Ohio State at the time. Their real estate program had kind of fallen out and they didn't have a lot of classes in real estate. And so they didn't really need me. They didn't have much demand, so they had plenty of capacity. But I kept in touch with them. And the Center for Real Estate at Ohio State has been around for maybe 45 years, but it too had entered kind of a fairly dormant period. But you know, in the, you know, in the early 2010s, maybe around 2013, 2014, Fisher decided that, you know, here's an asset that we need to focus more attention on. And so they brought that back. And so I had some meetings with them. And when they had an opening, suddenly they called me to teach. So that was 2016. And then a year later, they said, you know, we probably need an executive director for the center as well. And so that's when I began doing that. So it's exactly the same thing that I did at OPERS when I joined. I like helping young things grow. And so this is the same kind of thing, just like starting, you know, a portfolio, getting a portfolio off the ground that was maybe a couple hundred million when I began at OPERS. And when I left, it was, I don't know, $5.5 billion or so, almost $6 billion. It's the same kind of thing, really. I like helping young things grow. I like working with young companies and young people. I guess that's my mission.
Awesome. So that kind of perfect segue to the next question. Like in a prior conversation that we had, you know, you mentioned there was a lot of diversity initiatives that the school was doing to get more women and more people of color into real estate, especially on the commercial side. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. That's something I'm really excited about. We have really great students. I know what it's like to be the only person in a room that looks like me, you know, for much of the past 30 years, even still today, there are times when I'm the only woman in the room. And I mean, to the point where I barely even notice it before anymore. But my students come and say, you know, I that company looks really interesting, but they don't have many women. And so I don't think I want to apply there. Or, you know, I'd like to be involved in with this group, but I walked by the door and it was just a bunch of white guys and I'm a Black woman. And so I didn't go in. And so we need you know, how do we open this up and how do we create an environment that feels inclusive and welcoming to everybody? And so since I've been at the center, we've begun our, we focus on both increasing diversity, just people of color, and and women. And so now we have a kick-ass women's dinner every fall, and I hope you will join us this next time. I would love to have you there. We have a Black Student in Real Estate Association, which has about 30 members, and that started last summer. That was one of our students came to me. She's a Black woman from Atlanta and said, we need this. And she was right. And, you know, people, we're working on better outreach, just trying to help people understand the opportunities out there. The students at OSU, you know, some of them have the same conception I did, that, well, real estate means selling houses, and it does, and that can be a great career, but it also means a bunch of other things. It means working for BlackRock, you know, in real estate, or working for a REIT, or development, or being a broker, or being an appraiser, or an attorney focused on real estate. I mean, there's so many things you could do. So we're just trying to get the word out more.
Awesome. And I would definitely love to join the women's dinner. So we'll talk more about that.
Yeah. We want you there for sure.
Oh, absolutely. So keeping kind of within that same vein, what advice would you give to someone young, just coming out of college, that wants to break into the commercial real estate industry, women, man, or otherwise?
So I would say, be clear on what your passion is and then follow that, you know, and trust yourself. Listen to that little voice. You know, I had other jobs before I got into real estate, and they were fine. And, but there was always a little part of me that said, maybe this isn't the best fit. And so I really think I'm a big fan of meditation. You know, I think if you sit and meditate, sometimes that little voice gets louder and you can hear it, you know, it pops up, or the truth pops out for you. But I truly would say, go for it. And if you, in particular, if you're Black or a woman or you know, a minority of any sort, right now is a really opportune time. For students, there are more scholarships this year than I've ever seen, specifically targeted toward minorities, toward diversity. The same thing for internships. You know, there are opportunities now, because I think the events of last summer got people thinking about saying, wait a minute, you know, that's a good point. I look around me and it's, you know, it's just a bunch of white guys at this firm. You know, I've had several employers tell me this. And so they come and they say, help us find students, you know, who could come intern, or you know, we're working with one great company, Bellwether, that just came up with a scholarship program targeted at for diversity students. Bellwether has an office in Columbus. I think they're based out of Cleveland. But they're targeting several universities, using us as the pilot, I think. And it's $10,000 for a student a year, which is material. I mean, I think that would really make a dent in someone's expenses for college. And they're not the only ones. So it's, I'm really very excited by what I'm seeing. I'm really energized by the attention that everybody's getting. And I understand that things go in cycles, but right now is a good time in the market. There's a lot of opportunity for Black students, for women, for, you know, I mean, all, for everybody. And so I believe that when the market brings you an opportunity, you grab it. And so I think now's the time to, you know, capitalize on what's being handed to people.
Absolutely. I completely agree that it's no time like the present, like no time to be alive. There's a lot of opportunity. There's a large transfer of wealth happening at this point. So great, great opportunity to get into the real estate field. Is there any specific experience that you may care to share that was kind of like a challenge, or anything that you face, or a specific situation that you face as a woman being in the real estate industry?
Oh God, constantly. Yeah. I mean, every woman has, right? Everybody has a story, you know? When I was at the pension fund and I was managing several billion dollars, you know, somebody came in to pitch to us and patted me on the head and asked if I was ever intimidated by these big numbers. And I thought, well, you're probably not going to get the business now, are you? you know, and it just didn't understand. And it continues to this day, you know. Generally it's unintentional. I don't know that anyone ever said, you're a woman and so you're, you know, so obviously you can't have this job. It's much more subtle than that. It's, being in a meeting and saying something and then 2 minutes later, you know, the boss says, boy, Joe had a really good suggestion there when he said, you know, what I said, you know, ascribing it to somebody else. Or, walking into a boardroom for a meal and having, one of the staff stopping at the door and say, we're sorry, this is just for the board, you know. And
right, thinking that you're the assistant or something like that.
Yeah. And always, you know, when I'm the only woman on the board and they come, you know, if we're, you know, at a facility and they come to replenish, you know, and they want to know if we want more coffee, they always come to me. I'm like, I don't know, you know, that's go ask the CEO over there. You know, I'm just a director. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just an assumption all the time that, well, surely you're not, you must not understand. When I started teaching, you know, and I walked into my class, you know, I'm pretty sure my students all thought I was a residential broker because I'm a nice, you know, motherly looking woman, and I fit the profile, and I never took the classes for that. I'm not licensed, you know. I couldn't do that. Actually, I don't think I have the skills to do that. But I had to disillusion them, and they were pretty surprised. I really don't know anything about that. But here are some deals that I've done. Here are pictures of apartment complexes I've bought and sold, and hotels and malls, and you know, this is what I've done, and this is what we're going to talk about here. And there were a couple of people who were disappointed, but for the most part, people said, "Oh, you know, I didn't realize that we were going to cover that." And inevitably, in my classes, there's somebody who, midway through the term, says, "You know, I think I want to go into real estate. I thought I just wanted to do finance or something, but you know, I didn't realize how much fun real estate could be." So that's rewarding.
Yeah, that's amazing. Are there any other initiatives that Ohio State is doing, or either anything that you're involved with personally? Like you mentioned, you're part of a lot of different boards of public and private companies that you care to share and talk about?
Ohio State is doing so much. I can't even begin to list all the cool things they're doing there. And it's almost overwhelming. I mean, I'm having so much fun being on campus. It's like it's in some ways, it's like I'm 20 again and back on campus, because there's just, pick anything you want. And they're really focused on it, you know, focused on entrepreneurship and leadership and tech. We have a department that I'm not sure what they call it. It's a center, but it's they bring people from different disciplines just to understand about like big data analysis. We're doing so much on COVID. You know, the first Johnson & Johnson vaccine in the state was just administered. I think it was in the state. Maybe it was bigger than that. Was administered at Ohio State just a week or two ago when it was available. I mean, it's really exciting to be somewhere with such great thinkers and leadership just broadly across the board. We have a great office with deep staff, experienced staff that focus on diversity and inclusion. And, you know, they have more initiatives than I could comment on. We have meditation once a week at the Wexner Art Museum. We have great theater. We have anything you could think of. But if you think about it, I mean, the university itself has 60,000 students and 30,000 faculty and staff. And then the medical center is a leading medical center nationally and probably has another 30,000 staff. And so it's a city. It's a little city unto its own. And it's just so much fun being there. I just really love it.
Awesome. Well, last question, just in general with this, are you invested in anything personally in terms of real estate, or is any projects that you are looking to work on and on the real estate side of things?
Yeah, so most of my real estate investments actually are REIT stock, because I'm on the board of a couple public REITs, and I have to own X amount of stock. Every director has to own X amount of stock according to the bylaws of each company. So I meet that, but then I try to exceed that, because if I don't believe in a company, I'm not going to sit on its board. And I'm very, very choosy, and I bet on the people. And so, you know, everything about real estate, I think, is the people. When I was at OPERS, we used managers, and I bet on them. So most of my real estate investment is in equities, if you will, other than my house. I have a house. I'm lucky to, you know, live in Columbus and have a house big enough for me and my husband and the dog. And now's a really interesting time. So I'm actually looking at a couple other opportunities too, you know, smaller opportunities that maybe, you know, some development or some residential. It's a really interesting time. And I probably would only invest in, well, I don't want to say that. I think you should invest in what you know best. And I know Columbus best. So if I were to invest outside of Columbus, it would have to be another area that I'm pretty comfortable with.
Yeah. I mean, Ohio in general is a really hot real estate market. There's a lot of money flooding from all different, you know, sides of the country into Ohio, especially from the, you know, the coast, because real estate is so expensive there. It's hard to find deals. So, you know, more money is flooding in there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a good time to be in Ohio. Definitely.
For sure. All right. So let me just move into the last segment of the show, which is called The Fabulous Four. It's just four questions I ask every guest. So I want you to answer whatever comes to mind. The first question is, what is your favorite real estate book?
It depends on when you ask me, but
I know there's so many good ones that you.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's true. So the one that has really moved me is Evicted by Matthew Desmond. It's a great one, and I've recommended my class read it as well. You know, it follows. I don't know. Are you familiar with Evicted? It's a great
book. I have
not heard
of that one. That's one I'm going to check out just because you said it. I haven't heard of it.
It breaks your heart, and it has led, I think, to changes in some laws around the country. It follows, I think, 8 residents of low-income housing in Milwaukee, and I believe he might have won the Pulitzer for it. So it came out in 2016. So great, great book.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm definitely going to check that out. The second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self when you're just getting started with your real estate career?
Oh, don't take things so seriously. And don't be afraid to tell people to take a hike.
Okay. Really good advice. It's all, you know, you got to keep your self-care and your peace of mind at top of mind at all times. I definitely understand that. All right. Third question is, what topic in real estate do you want to personally learn more about?
There's so much. I mean, I really want to understand affordable housing better. I mean, I think, you know, I think I'm probably as conversant as most people on it. I've been on, you know, involved with some companies that focused on affordable housing. But I know that it feels like there are such smart people working on crafting solutions right now that I have more optimism about this topic. And this kind of goes back to Matthew Desmond and Evicted, that this and, you know, the bill that Biden just signed today, that, you know, I think will help lift a lot of children out of poverty and, you know, just, you know, help so many families. I feel very optimistic about this, and I want to learn more about what are the solutions that people are, you know, the smart people have figured out.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And I just want to point out, like, that's another great thing about real estate. Like, you've been in the business for many, many years, and you still have things that you want to learn about to this day. So it's a constant, like a lifelong learning experience with real estate. And that's the one thing I love about it.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
Okay. And yeah. The last question is, can you please give a shout out to another woman in real estate?
Just one? Can I say more than one?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So I want to shout out to Sydney Brantley, who is my student at Ohio State, who came to me and said, we need a Black Student in Real Estate Association. And I want to shout out to Marjorie Sang, whom I think you might know, who is based in Manhattan and has a long career in real estate institutional investing and consulting and working on sustainability. And she is just my hero all across the board. And she helped me plan our first Kick-Ass Women's Dinner. Mm-hmm. I want to shout out to Gloria Gill, who just stepped down from running real estate for UC Regents and is Filipino and is just an amazing success story. You know, her work ethic just amazes me and her creativity and kindness. I could go on and on and on. I've been really blessed at, you know, being around so many amazing women. Mary Leggett at Heitman, Lori Dotter, who is at TCW, Yvonne Nelson, who's with the New York Retirement System, Jen Stevens at Alliance Global Advisors, Sarah Schoen, who is a young woman. I actually taped a podcast with Sarah today. She's in her early 30s and she started her own company about focused on sustainability and ESG. I mean, it's just, we are so blessed. There are so many really wonderful women out there. And I'm happy we're all working together.
Yes, absolutely. Woo, that's amazing. So many ladies out here doing so many different things in real estate and just, you know, really excelling at all their respective fields. So that's awesome. And special shout out, yes, to Marjorie Sang. Yeah, she's amazing. She, ever since I've met her, she's been like a super advocate, always reaching out, always a good listening ear. So definitely special shout out to her.
She is my hero. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So how can people get in contact with you or how can they find more information about the program at Ohio State?
Oh, sure. So, my email is mccormick.397@osu.edu. I'm at Ohio State, the OSU Center for Real Estate, which is part of Fisher College of Business. So I don't know that website offhand, but we have a website. We have, as I mentioned, we have a podcast series. That's free to the public. Please listen to that. We have webinars and all kinds of events. You know, check our website for that stuff. We would love to have people involved. One of the upsides to the past year, if there is an upside, is that we've moved everything online. And so people are able to participate from all over the world, both speakers and, you know, attendees. And so we're not able to sit next to each other and you know, chit chat as much. And I really, really miss that. But we're able to reach a broader audience and bring in some really interesting speakers. So, but please reach out to me if you have any suggestions or questions, or, you know, if you'd like to, if you have jobs for our students. We have amazing students. We have 320 majors and minors in real estate now. And, you know, every one of them, I think, is just very solid.
Awesome. And I definitely agree to that point about the pandemic kind of being a blessing and a curse a little bit, because I've personally been able to connect with many people like you that mm-hmm. I might not have crossed paths with, you know, being in person. You know, I'm here in DC, you're in Ohio. So it's definitely been a fabulous an opportunity to connect with a lot of people. So definitely agree with that. And then lastly, are there any last words of wisdom for the listeners?
Oh, golly. no, I don't think I have any wisdom, but but George Harrison did when he wrote his song, All Things Must Pass. And I remind myself of that all the time. Everything cycles. So when you think things are bad and you're never going to see the upside, that's right. You know, it's darkest right before dawn and things do get better, you know, and I think we're at that point now where maybe there's an inflection point nationally and, you know, things are getting better with the pandemic, the economy. At the same time, when you think things are never going to turn and get worse, you know, that's when you should be selling, you know, move to cash and head to the hills. So everything cycles. I'm fascinated by cycles.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously real estate is one of the most cyclical markets. So, I agree, but thank you so much, Mary. This was an awesome conversation. Like, I learned so much. Even last time we talked, I learned so much, but this was great, amazing. I'm looking forward to participating in the dinner this fall. And we talked about the mentorship program at Ohio State. Yes. So looking forward to participating in that as well. And, you know, anything else that you have going on that I can be a part of or help out with, I'm definitely here for you. So thank you. Thank you again.
Thanks so much, Jessica. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. All right, everybody. This was another episode of Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Thanks again to my guest, Mary Beth McCormick, Executive Director of the Real Estate Program at Fisher School of Business at Ohio State University. Just awesome, awesome wealth of knowledge. So thanks again, and we'll see everybody next time.